feet from the bush and the chapter we read, the epistle of Paul to the Ephesians, the 5th chapter, the 20th verse. The 20th verse in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This latter part of the epistle by the apostle to the Ephesians was in desire that there might be a manifestation of the fruit of Christ's work in their souls. This epistle is a very gracious one, as all of them are, but I felt sometimes how the apostle to these Gentile sinners at Ephesus wrote and opened up to them the preciousness of Christ, his work made manifest, and by the Spirit they're being brought into that grace. And all that he exhorts is that they might, by the Spirit of God, walk in that love. The only right way we can walk, if we have any part in the truth as they had, which is according to the truth of God, acceptable to God, is as the love of Christ is shed abroad in our heart by faith. There is no other walking in those ways that are acceptable to God. Duty, faith, creature merit, legal actings, only bring into bondage, darkness, and there's no sweetness. You that know what it is to have walked in any of those spirits and at times solemnly proved them still lurking in our members, you prove this, that there's no gracious teaching, there's no drawing in affection, and as far as our walk in this world, there's no manifestation of that godly fear which alone is the teacher in those things that belong to our lives, that we may be approved of God. But the apostle desired for them, as he had walked in it and desired it, that they might be followers of Christ as dear children. The Lord Jesus had been made manifest to them. And in this chapter, while he opens up what the grace of God does in respect to families, wives and husbands, he brings that forward. And if I may just venture on that truth a moment, the days in which we live prove what I felt in prayer, the godly man ceaseth and the faithful fail from among the children of men. Because comparatively there is little of these workings, movements and exhortations proved. It isn't just by word of mouth, but it is the very life of faith. And the Lord hides pride from his own people, yet there is a walking in these truths. But the apostle brings them forward to bring forth a more and greater and enduring truth, and he says, I speak of Christ and his church. Oh, what a divine union. And in the former part of the epistle, as you well know, the apostle opens up that union, shows them how that they strangers to the commonwealth of Israel and to the covenants of promise, and were living by nature without God and without hope in the world, were brought into that union. What the Lord had done, I mention it because this is the very foundation upon which the apostle could give these exhortations to them. knowing that there was a proof and a ground in them by which they would in true desire be exercised to walk in them. We can only walk in these exhortations under that grace. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and separated by his grace. That isn't, my friends, what I've mentioned. It isn't a legal separation. It isn't a Pharisaical separation. It isn't like the Pharisee spirit, of which the Lord Jesus gives us a very solemn account and is in my heart by nature, when he said, I am even not as this publican, and I do many things commendable to God, as though he was better than others. But this grace manifested humbles a sinner before God, so that there is a desire for the Lord to grant this separation, for ye were sometime darkness. I've often felt in these epistles that the apostle doesn't bring these truths before them to aggravate their past sins or their former workings, but he brings it before them to show them how great the grace of God is, how great it is to such sinners as they who are undeserving. What a wonderful mercy, my friends, when the Lord the Spirit so reveals the things of God that you're enabled and I'm enabled in any humble measure to bow before God at his sovereign grace to such a sinner, when you may feel yourself, whatever others may say, give you an instance of that. There was one that you well know of in the gospel, and they said of him, respecting his daughter, that he was worthy that the Lord should come and heal, give life. But when he heard the Lord Jesus was coming, he sent to him, and he said, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. That was his own declaration. And if the Lord the Spirit is with us, dealing and teaching, then, my friends, we shall see the wonders of God's grace, that he should look upon such sinners as we are, and under that exercise be separated from the powers of darkness. Ye were sometime darkness. Ye had no hope. You were without God. You were without Christ. When the light of God shows a sinner, when you were shown what you were living, you look at it, just a moment, sporting with death. I don't mean by that going into any outward activities at all that the world may go into more profane, but you can see that day by day we were living without God. And though it could have been that we were taken from time into eternity, no thought of God before our eyes. And that's how they were living. They were darkness. They had no desire for God, no love to him, no fellowship, no communion, no desire for his name. For God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, he says of his church, wherewith he loved, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And so his grace came. But now are ye light in the Lord. This was a wonderful declaration to these Ephesians, and I feel that as the Spirit of God wrote it, really, by and through the apostle, so it was a communication of life to their souls. When the Lord opens that up, and you're seen and you prove that such a sinner is now light in the Lord, what a change, what mercy, what power. Well, that's the foundation upon which the apostle brings these exhortations to them. He could do on no other, if I may say, You can't tell a person to do something that they're incapable of doing. A person that's alienated to God and living in the world, you can't ask them to give thanks in this sense of which the apostle speaks. There is a right thankfulness. There is a right, my friends, looking into things. I often feel and say in respect to our young people at home, there is a right behavior and reverence for the things of God. And there's a right looking into His Word and to remember our Creator in the days of our youth. Those are words given, but you know, even in that, what a mercy it is done under the exercise of the Spirit of grace. I'm convinced of the truth that the natural mind is enmity toward God. While things may be going tolerably smooth in our flesh, we may be quiet, and there may not be any apparent rebellion to God. But my dear friends, oh, what we are by nature. And you that can walk with these Ephesians, you know it. So that this is a great grace bestowed by God, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that that can't be in the flesh. If it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that must be in the Spirit by faith. For my dear friends, I must speak what I hope the Lord has given, that is in my own soul. No man by nature knows Christ. It's a very solemn declaration of truth, but it's true. No man by nature knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told you, I believe here more than once, that that's why poor puny man in religion has representations of Christ in the way of pictures and all other matters, but not according to the Spirit. Whatever emotion may be in the flesh, that will die with our nature. And it's a wonderful mercy for the Lord the Spirit to be our guide. It's a great mercy, my friends, if the Lord the Spirit has led us into the truth. The truth as it is in Jesus. See how the apostle words this, or the Spirit of God. When I say words it, not words of man. Not just to fill in sentences, but the truth. Vital truth, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Because like the poet says, every grace and every favor comes to us through Jesus' blood. Really speaking, if I may say just on that point, all blessings come through this very channel. The world wouldn't be habitable but for this. Sin entered into the world and death came by sin. And but for the promise of the coming of Christ and that he should shed his blood that sinners might live and that the election of grace shall be gathered in under the power of the eternal Spirit, my dear friends, this world would be habitable, would be here. When the fullness of the time, when all the vessels of mercy, the body of Christ, are born into the world and manifested by the power of the Holy Ghost, this world, this poor dying world, will be no more needed. So that this is a wonderful grace. Giving thanks, he says, always, in all things. That is, in every matter that concerns the church. I thought, just as you were singing now, that's a wonderful truth by that point. He could give thanks. He sees the church of God and in all their various exercises, but he says the righteous shall hold on his way. Oh, in the name of the Lord Jesus, to give thanks always, because if we are of this number, let me put it like this, to the church of God, the church in Christ, it is what this same apostle wrote to the Romans, as you well know by the reading of it. He says, when he opens up all the workings of God, all the way in which the Lord teaches, and all the powers that come against the church, he says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You see the mercy, see the fullness, so that the apostle here enters into that same truth to the Ephesians, that all things flow through Christ, but that is all things that are needful to the church. This isn't, my friends, everything that may be of the flesh. It doesn't belong to that. The workings of faith. How wonderful that is when you can see the wisdom of God, giving thanks always in all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his wisdom, giving thanks always for the wisdom of God made manifest in the name of the Lord Jesus to his church. You see that wisdom that moves and guides in the life of God's dear people. You may not always view that. You may say, well, I can't feel always to give thanks, giving thanks always in all things. But oh, when faith sees, let me just give it you of cases given to us in the scripture to open this up. You can see with faithful Abraham, he was loved of God, chosen of God, separated by God, brought out from the world, separated unto the Lord Jesus by living faith, and he went out not knowing whither he went. That is, from that time that God called him, he walked by faith in Christ. The Lord has given to us much of his life, and I tell you why. Because he's one of the witnesses of the grace and power and wisdom of God displayed, and that it might also be in union. For one particular part of that teaching came to my mind just then. In the giving of thanks always for all things, God spoke. He said, this the Lord did tempt Abraham. You may look at this giving of thanks in the truth. The Lord did tempt, that is, he tried his own grace. And he told him what to do, respecting his only son, that is the son of promise. If you and I are in Christ Jesus, my friends, the Lord will prove the promise that he has given. Every promise that God gives in Christ to his church has a trial of faith in it. It must come to death. And there's a giving of thanks always in that, in the wisdom of God displayed. You don't see it till the Lord works. But let me just say on that, breaking in, the Apostle Peter opens that up as it was with Abraham. He says, you rejoice in Christ, though for a season if need be, that is, if it's needful, that there might be a teaching that you might give thanks to God, there's a trial of faith. And the giving of thanks will be by the proving that that faith is the faith of God's elect. In the name of the Lord Jesus, what a thank thankfulness that is in the wisdom of God, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here's a cause of thankfulness. You look into this. Why, you may have said when you read this portion, I don't feel I can walk that, giving thanks always in all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. But when you look and the Spirit leads you into that, then you can see it in the name of the Lord Jesus, because that living faith is made manifest. I say, God then did tempt Abraham. Well, you know what that did. He took his son. He rose up early in the morning. He went to the place that God spoke. He offered him up and he received him as from the dead. Though the Lord said, slay not thy son, he received him as from the dead. And when he came down, the Lord spoke again, by this I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. That was a gracious act of faith in the wisdom of God, and he could give thanks to God for that wisdom displayed and for the mercy that God had given him, a living faith in Christ Jesus. So that, my friends, if we are of this people, there'll be a giving of thanks for that. You may say, but isn't this a providential blessing? Well, that includes in a most particular manner, but it has in it everything that is in Christ Jesus, giving thanks for that wisdom. And you see how faith works in that. Jacob was possessed of the same, and that had a movement in all his providences. I've said sometimes at home, and feel this, and have for years, that when the Lord calls a sinner by grace, if he's made manifest his truth in you, and we're followers of God in Christ by this living faith, then our providences are of a very particular character. The Lord Jesus says of his church, you're not your own. They never were there eternally his in God. But when the Holy Spirit communicates that divine life, manifested by his power, so that there is the inward witness of that life, from that time you're not your own. You see, sometimes, if I may put it like this, we're in a poor condition, we're not able to give thanks. Everything seems out of joint. Jacob, he appeared sometimes, he mourned before the Lord. He had a promise of life. God separated him. When he came to Bethel, he had a covenant promise given to him that he was in Christ and that God would be with him in all places, whithersoever he went. But oh, how that was tried. Look at the places he came into. And when the time came that they took Joseph and he thought him to have been devoured by wild beasts, and then famine comes, and his Benjamin's taken. You may say, well, how do you fit that in with this text? Giving thanks always, in everything. Well, the Lord brought him to it. When he was brought after many years, you see, my friends, when you come to the workings of faith, it's not like the things that belong to our flesh. You can't just work that in days and months and years according to the natural mind. There's seasons with God when he makes manifest his truth. And so Jacob came to a place. I come over many years, but you know his case in this giving of thanks. And the time came when Joseph sent word that he was alive and his father was to come down the fulfillment of covenant promises, and when he saw the wagons, the spirit of Jacob revived. I mentioned providence. You see the guiding of God. See his wisdom. See his teaching. See his leading. Oh, my friends, sometimes when you can see the particular leadings, not all at once, but when there's been a watching and a waiting before God, and you can see those particular leadings, I say particular rightly because they belong to that divine union. They are because of that sacred workings of the work of Christ, and to bring more into fellowship and union, and to show the love of God. You see that? Jacob's heart revived, and Israel said, it is enough. God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God. His promises are yea and amen in Christ. And you can trace through the scriptures in that. We're compassed with a cloud of witnesses, and they witness the faithfulness of God, the wonders of his grace, and the walk of faith, so that there is a giving of thanks, giving thanks always for all things. My dear friends, I did feel just as that came to mind, I may not always be, can't I say, be seen in the flesh. Look at some of the cases. Naomi could give thanks unto God. But could she, when her husband was taken and her two sons, could she give thanks? Not in the flesh. But you see how the Lord dealt. See his mercy. See his divine wisdom. See his faithfulness. Why, look at it for a moment, that she was brought to see clearly that she wasn't to be consigned to hell, that she wasn't to be brought into her just desert, and though her backslidings were great, God's faithfulness was great, and his mercy, and the time came when she could see the wisdom of God's divine teaching. I felt in this thankfulness, it may not seem to open up in the way that you thought, but it came to mind what the apostle writes to the church in the Hebrews. He says, you've forgotten the exhortation. And under what position have you forgotten it? Because the chastening of the Lord and his correction are not palatable to our flesh. Indeed, the real experience of truth, when you came under that correcting rod, when you came under the chastening of God, which may be not known to others, but the Lord's teaching in your soul, it was grievous. It had this in it, that you wondered whether you were really one of the Lord's children. You that are under divine teaching are not strangers to that. But you see, we forget the exaltation. And what is that exaltation? That speaketh unto you as unto children. This is to the children. You may have asked sometimes that you might prove that you're not a bastard, that you're not left out of the secret. I hope I have. My dear friends, false religion is very cruel, and I tell you this in it, it hasn't that exercise in it. But you may have begged of the Lord sometimes that you might not prove to be a bastard. And why? Because you know this, to have a religion that God will not approve of in that great day will be of no value. You may say, well, this seems a strange opening up, but you look a moment. This is in the name of the Lord Jesus, this giving of thanks. It's not separated from his love and grace. Well, now you look into that as the Spirit leads and see the mercy and the teaching. When you've been concerned, You may have read sometimes under the exercise of the Spirit the parable of the virgins. I have. Sometimes wondered and said, well, will it be my portion to be of the foolish virgins? You see, they had everything, apparently, like those that were wise. Outwardly, they had outward conformity. But when the time the bridegroom came, they had no manifest union to him. They were out of the secret. Well, you may ask him that. You look at this giving of thanks. Always, in all things. I say that's not just a moment of time, but when the Lord comes with his chastening and correcting, when he says, this is not in anger, this is in love. In love I correct thee, thy soul to refine, to make thee at length in my likeness to shine. And when the Lord begins to unfold, and when you see it, though it's been grievous, and though like some of the Psalms, very different to giving of thanks, Asaph under God's teaching on one occasion said, I was as a beast before thee. I was in such a case and condition that I wasn't fit even to speak respecting those things. You look at his case, for God dealt. And then when the Lord shows this, my friend, that chastening and correction was in love, that it was to refine, that he's put into the crucible, that there might be a bringing forth of that which is of his own spirit. You see how the Lord makes manifest this truth, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the Father who makes manifest his correction and chastening to bring into conformity and to bring every thought into submission and into blessing to the truth of Christ. I felt in that. I say, my friends, it seemed to come to my mind, this isn't a fleshly exhortation, but it's in the Spirit. Why, my friends, if you and I are God's children, then we shall then see that he is wisdom. One of our poets says, unerring wisdom guides my way. Oh, when you can see just a little, you can give thanks. If I may say this evening to some of you, you may just look back a moment over the way the Lord has led, like the children of Israel, and be enabled by it to give thanks and see some of the ways the Lord brought them to Marah. They couldn't drink of the water of Marah because it was bitter. And under that, the devil may tempt you and say, well, how can it be a giving of thanks? Ah, but the Lord proved his mercy there. He proved his loving kindness. He proved his faithfulness. He proved his grace. He made manifest his truth. And the Lord spoke to Moses, and he told him what to do, to put a tree in that water, and it caused that to be sweet. Why, my dear friends, when the Lord has brought you into some afflictive dispensation, I say in his providence, when it's sanctified, you can't give thanks only on when the Lord sanctifies. I have begged sometimes that the Lord might sanctify his dealings with me in providence. I've looked at that word. Doubtless you have many times. The sorrow of the world worketh death. There's no giving of thanks. If we were enabled, and I don't mean this in judging others, but we should see this, that in every case where there's no living union to Christ, It is but that sorrow of the world in the end. Oh, what a mercy to be unable to see this. The sanctifying of God's dealings and teachings in the way in which he led, so as to be unable to say, surrounded with sorrows, temptations, and cares, this truth with delight we survey and sing. Under what exercise? Giving of thanks. Singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You know there is, that's an inward exercise. I know, my friends, it's good. And sometimes if the Lord has touched your heart with a sense of his love and sanctified a dispensation and caused you to see his wisdom and his teaching to profit in a way that you've been led, why inwardly you can sing and you may come to the house of God then and be enabled to sing. I've sometimes thought, breaking in on that, in our prayer meetings, it was a mercy when there is a little rejoicing in the truth. This is a very homely thought, but I often feel this is a good thing in a prayer meeting, when a hymn that is given out is the very index of the feelings of the one who's about to engage in whatever exercise of spirit. I watch for that. I long to see it. And sometimes there's a giving of thanks when the Lord has been pleased to show you clearly his divine purpose of love. When he said, this isn't in anger, I brought you into this to prove you, to try you. I brought it into your path to humble you, to break down your spirit, but that you might be brought into conformity to the truth, and that you might prove Christ formed in your heart as the hope of glory. And what is the fruit then? Giving thanks always in all things. In all things. So that it's in every part. Oh, the devil says sometimes, and our evil hearts are ready to conclude, there can't be anything to profit. It must be and is an evil way. Much darkness of mind. It's just sometimes like the servant of Elijah, when he looked about him and he saw the camp of the Syrians, and he felt that there could be no escape, and he cried out, and he wondered what he should do. But the Lord said, or rather Elijah prayed to God, and he said, Lord, open the young man's eyes. And the Lord opened his eyes. And what did he see? He saw that there was more for them than there was against them. You see the mercy. I thought only just then, Andre, the word of one who said, I would that I could walk it. Every providence a friend. My dear friends, it must be in the experience of God's people. If I may speak, I do sometimes only in these things. That just flashed in my mind a dear friend many years ago, as his foot was taken off by a machine and he was being rushed to the hospital, he wrote to me afterward and he said, these lines dropped. Not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And he said he saw in a moment the purpose of God in that dispensation. Well, my friends, would you say that that was a way? What would your flesh say of giving of thanks always in all things? Say, well, that must be everything that is pleasant, everything that is profitable. Well, the flesh will never give thanks only for what delights its flesh, and that's very poor, because it's short-lived, and there's an end. But when the Lord in his mercy shows this, that all his dealings are wise and good, uniform, though various, though by reason viewed cross and quite contrarious. How different then is this word? And you can see that it's the hand of love, it's the hand of mercy, it's the hand of truth. It's that God that has loved, chosen in Christ, and has determined to bring through honorably through this world and to bring to glory, so that you can see that God's divine teachings in his grace and his providence are in love and in mercy, giving thanks always in all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, he's given all things that are needful, profitable. You can see in that he gives that which is profitable. He did to Solomon, though Solomon's case in the end was very solemn. He was a child of God. He was a sinner. But the Lord did bless. I thought then of when he came to Gibeah, and the Lord spoke to him, "Ask what I shall give thee." And the Lord gave him wisdom to ask. You know what we sometimes see? If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise, else he another choice had made, and asked for what the worldlings prize. What would you ask? If Solomon for wisdom prayed, the Lord before had made him wise, else he another choice had made, and asked for what the worldlings prize. What would you ask? He asked for wisdom. He felt his inability to do that which God had appointed for him. And the Lord gave him a wonderful word. He said, "Because thou hast not asked the things of this life," that's how it's really brought. Then he says, "I'll give that in addition to what you have asked." The grace of God has the promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. You know, my friends, let me come very close. And it is giving thanks always in all things. If I had the grace of faith, then I should say this, see this, that the Lord has promised to give strength and blessing and provision day by day. I often feel my wretched heart. If I may open that up to you tonight in this, that the flesh wants to see something for tomorrow and beyond it. I don't mean by that just a natural working of legality again and the flesh. It's the spirit of it. Why, my dear friends, when the Lord shows you the truth of his promise, that he'll be with his people day by day, oh, what did the Lord Jesus tell his own disciples? And this is to his church. He says, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." He says, "Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more shall he clothe you, O ye of little faith?" Look at the mercy. Why, my friends, if God clothes us with his righteousness, grant us to prove the power of that precious robe put upon us by a living faith, oh, what a giving of thanks. And let me just end in what I've mentioned. Will the Lord not be mindful of his dear people in this world. You know, sometimes I feel that. I do feel to need the Lord to grant me the grace to know that I'm a child of God and will be found with him in glory. And yet many times, what a distrustful heart, and how small our faith appears, and how feelingly unable to trust the Lord for the things of our daily life. I feel that many times. Oh, if you felt something of the righteousness of Christ, sinner, if the love of God has been made known and shown you and me like these Ephesians, and like you sung in that opening hymn, if the Lord has shown to us that divine union and that he's put upon us that glorious robe that we shall stand complete before God, then, my friends, sometimes to see this in the sweetness of it by faith, he that has made my heaven secure will here all good provide. While Christ is rich, I can't be poor. What can I want beside? What can you want more than Christ? Why, my friend, look at it a moment. In the very truth of faith, what was more sweet than the time of that barrel of meal and the cruse of oil to that widow woman? And what was that on the promise of God? She sought first the kingdom of God. It was made manifest in her soul, and God was faithful. Why, sometimes when you felt the mercy of God and his love, I've sometimes thought of those days until rain came upon the earth, and how sweet that was under the promise to partake of the daily provision of God. And to you that the Lord has blessed with this divine union, says the apostle, as followers of God, giving thanks always in all things to God and our Father. What a sweet grace. When sometimes you're enabled and I am to give thanks unto God. Why, if we were, it would make everything that comes into our life very precious, really. To see the mercy of God, how far I come short, I feel that you'll agree. Oh, sometimes to see the good hand of God, his gracious provision, his mercy, in giving strength equal to the day, giving thanks always for all things, for strength to run the race. My dear friends, we prove this. If we are his, we have the strength. The Lord knows how to bring down every proud loop. But oh, when you've seen his strength made perfect in your weakness, when you've had to tell the Lord that you haven't had the strength to manage, that you're not able to continue, that you feel that you've come to the end and you have in yourself, and the Lord grants that strength. He gives strength unto his people as wisdom to direct and strength to do his will. Sometimes in that, oh, the mercy. He does give strength. He gave David strength on one particular occasion to stand before Goliath, that enemy. You look at that. Well, you may say, does that come into this? Yes. You've got a Goliath. You've got a power of darkness. Oh, the powers of the enemy. How great. And how much against God. Too much for us to manage in ourselves. And yet David goes before Goliath as a stripling, and he goes without armor. Saul's armor wouldn't do. But he says this, that he came in the name of the Lord his God. And sometimes when the Lord has given strength against the powers of the enemy that have assailed and have said like Goliath, I'll make you as those that shall be eaten of the beasts of the field. Why, my dear friends, when you come into places and you felt that the enemy would exact in such a way, the Lord has given strength, and he has given that help, then you're enabled to see his mercy. And what a delightsome path, giving thanks. Why, you can sing in the name of the Lord Jesus. You can see then that this blessing has come through that divine union, through the Lord Jesus, in the sacrifice of himself, through his precious blood. I do like those lines I've quoted. Every grace and every favor flow to us through Jesus' blood. When you can feel, you can give thanks always. In all things, this has yet to come. Let me just mention a truth. Be much on my mind, even death itself. Why, you may say, is that in this? Yes. I've looked of late sometimes into the epistle to the Corinthians, and the apostle by the Spirit opens up to the church of God the truth of death and the purpose of it to the church, and the necessity of it, because there must be a bringing down of this tabernacle. And what a wonderful word he writes. For we know that if this our earthly tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. He says, for in this we grow, being burdened. You look at that truth, giving thanks always in all things. You know, the death of God's people is very precious in his sight. If I may speak of that, you may have viewed it. I hope I have, in thankfulness, to see the wonders of God's grace in death, in a living child of God, being taken from this body of sin, and to be brought into the kingdom of God's dear Son in all its fullness. And to be enabled to speak, the Apostle Paul could give thanks. By the grace of God, manifested in his soul, in Jesus Christ, he could say this: for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. My dear friends, if God the Spirit grant us that, you may say that's a high standard. But would you lower it? I hope I never would, but I do beg the Lord to give grace that we may be enabled to attain to it. You may say, not as though I have already attained, for you desire, oh, if the Lord grant us this, to live is Christ, then, my friends, what flows from him in his mercy, in his power, in his truth, in his chastening and correction, in the visitations of his love, when he puts his hand in by the hole of the door, or when he chides, then we shall be enabled, under the exercise of it, and in the afterward, to give thanks always in all things, and see that all things work together for good to them that love God, and are the called according to his purpose. And if this is ours, then, my friends, we shall be enabled, though you may be in bondage through fear of death, but you'll be enabled under that same grace to give thanks in that very hour. What a mercy to be a follower of the Lord Jesus, to prove that union, and for the Spirit of God to so enlighten. And may that, though I but feebly spoke it, may the Lord grant it, giving thanks always in all things to God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord grant it that in our path we may at times really feel it, And I'll tell you this, my friend, whatever the world may call good or great, you'll have a portion divine which will enable you to so give thanks and to say, I would not with the world exchange. May God grant us the grace of it in our souls.